It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. This is number 293, where we are behind schedule, but ahead of the times. My name is Joey. I'm here as always with Len, buddy. What's going on? I know we got a compressed schedule today. Nice shirt. Great EasyDNS shirt there. Love to see it.
Yeah. Let's try to rep it for today. In charge, and we're happy to rep their product. So yeah, everything's great here. The weather's fantastic and
good.
Enjoying it as much as possible. How about you, Joey?
Dude, you messaged me. I was walking to my car. You said, are you ready to go? I said, we got to hustle, so I'm going to start running. It's really hot. I'm soaked. I look sweaty if you're watching on audio, but I am unapologetic. Last week's quote, Len, the welfare of the people has always been the alibi of tyrants, was Albert Camus. Jerry got it first, so there was two correct answers. So nice one there, Jerry. This week's quote, most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Who's that by? I don't know. You tell me, reader, listener, viewer, no Googling. No cheating. Put it in the comments as always. And your next re-up on EasyDNS is on mark. So there you go. Len, as always, data breach and overreaching in the news this week. What do we got?
Yeah, some ClearView AI. It's always AI stuff in the news that we're talking about. This is a facial recognition and surveillance company. Well, they have admitted to nearly 1 million uses by U.S. law enforcement, which is odd because in 2022, they were sued for making money for these face prints that were taken without consent. And ClearView AI was reportedly permanently banned from selling its face print database to most U.S. companies within the United States. I guess U.S. law enforcement doesn't fall within a boundary of those bounds, that bound. And the ClearView AI, they have accumulated a database of more than 3 billion with a B images. And other sources I'm reading shows as high as 30 billion images. So I'm not sure if this is a result of inflation or not. It's hard for me to tell. Well, they've taken all these images from social media sites like Facebook and other sources. And ClearView, they themselves are reporting that the tech was used over 1,800 times by law enforcement agencies in the U.S. And this was used to help solving crimes ranging from shoplifting to murder. Quite a wide range of crimes over there. And the timing of this revelation is rather suspect because right now, ongoing, there's debate in the United States in if they should impose some sort of restrictions and through regulations of facial recognition technology. And those in favor of keeping this in place are citing the benefits of increasing the likelihood of apprehending criminals. And those against it are concerned about civil liberty laws. And this thing may not be foolproof. The New York Times ran an article on somebody who was forced to spend a week in jail as he was falsely accused of stealing a purse from somebody in a state that he has never visited before. Why? Result of bad facial recognition match. So critics are calling these images part of a, quote, perpetual police lineup, end quote. And that's a very scary name. And those taking these images without consent from the end user, well, it's not really that surprising. Let's be honest. There's major social media companies like Facebook sent out a cease and desist letter to ClearView in 2020 violating the user privacy. But the problem is the info is on the internet and it's easy to scrape and make a database with that. And all these photos on Facebook, Instagram, videos on TikTok, they could all be used to gather biometric data such as facial features and voice recognition. And so while I may not agree with what they're doing, the info is all there for anybody to take. And so in essence, the horse has been let out of the barn and there's no way to catch it and bring it back in. And for those who are up in arms with this, I'd like to know how many of you people out there have been giving away biometric data for free to access their phones, computers, and even devices like Amazon Alexa, fingerprints, voice, face, you name it, giving away all for free. And matching these images with those found online, it's easy to do right now. It's easy to take care of, and it's scary stuff, but still, it's very easy because this is all available. Anybody could do it. Just do a search on anything on Google, type in images, and boom, it's there. So, may not agree with it, but this is the reality, the world we live in.
Don't you think it would be nice if law enforcement maybe caught the people who were like shoplifting in Twitter videos before they went after people with facial recognition technology? Do you think that's fair?
And it's, those could be staged. That's the problem. There's no way to determine those are real or not.
I don't know. I hate this, man. I hate that everywhere I go, there's a camera. You and I have talked a bit about the privacy tools available in something like Bitcoin. You know, what would it take to really buy Bitcoin privately? What would it take to get cash out of an ATM? What would it take to make a private transaction these days? It's very difficult. There's, I don't know about you, Len, but here in Hamilton on the Alexander, Lincoln Alexander Parkway, which goes all the way through the city, there's traffic cameras, traffic in quotations there, big fat quotations, constantly just peeping your car, looking inside your windows. Everyone's got a Ring camera. Facial recognition is dangerous because that perpetual police lineup, almost invariably, you know, in the past when we've relied on technology for stuff like this, there's always hiccups, bumps, and of course ethics issues with the people who are using it and employing it. So I don't expect this to be any different, but the Panopticon grows, that's for sure.
Well, story that we talked about on the CBP 107, so if you want to know a little bit more about this story, check out our latest rip on this. There's been discovered that the white Bitcoin white paper is residing on MacBooks just about everywhere. An Apple Easter egg was discovered, and it came to the interest of many people in the Bitcoin community. And this was a result of an April 5th blog post from technologist Andy Bao. So if you have a Mac, open a terminal and type in a particular command. You could find it online. And I don't recommend doing it because you never know what's going to happen. But if you're a little bit living on a wild side, give it a shot. And what's going to happen is the Bitcoin white paper is going to appear. Apparently, it's held within the dictionary app on a MacBook, and it happens, this is only available for macOS 10.14 or later. So for those who aren't aware, the Bitcoin white paper is, well, was released in 2008 by a person named Satoshi Nakamoto, and it outlined Bitcoin as a peer-to-peer electronic cash system. Something that is rather unfortunate is how the media is portraying this. They're calling this the Bitcoin Manifesto, and that's the mainstream media is doing this. And well, it doesn't seem like it's a manifesto. It's just simply a white paper, nothing more, nothing less. And this leads to a lot of people questioning who is behind this, because in my honest opinion, this is simply an Easter egg, nothing more. And there's other Easter eggs included in your Mac OS. In fact, there's a picture of a computer showing a Windows blue screen of death. There's an original Star Wars movie in its entirety in ASCII art. There's also a text-based adventure game included. So there's a lot of Easter eggs included in Mac OS. So this is just another one that is just on top of this. And some people are questioning, potentially, is Satoshi Nakamoto Steve Jobs? Jobs died in October 2011. Satoshi's last message was December 2010. And one would say that Jobs had health problems for the last many months of his life, so maybe he just stopped reporting or doing anything on Satoshi's side of things. I don't buy it. It's not, I don't believe it's him, but I can't prove it. So that's just my two cents. Joey, what are your thoughts?
I'll keep it short, man. It's an Easter egg for sure. Maybe nothing, but Len, there's an awful lot of other stuff they could have put in there and didn't. And I'm happy to see that the white paper's there. That's all I'll say.
Okay, we have some information coming from overseas. In Britain, TikTok has been fined 12.7 million pounds through the misuse of children's data, through the violation of protecting their data and personal information. That's from TikTok. TikTok's been doing some naughty things, and they got slapped in the wrist, and they got imposed this fine. And a fine was imposed by the Information Commissioner's Office. And they've been monitoring TikTok for a little over 2 years, from May 2018 to July 2020. And I wonder how many Tide challenges or stupid dancing movies they had to go through to be subjected to find all this. So in my honest opinion, the people that were subjected to all this, they deserve a hefty raise, because I would hate to watch all that garbage. TikTok, they themselves have their own rules, and it prohibits children from under the age of 13 to be on the platform. But it's been reported that 1.4 million British children under that age were using TikTok. And even though it knew that the children were on the app, the allegation is TikTok failed to get consent from their parents to process the data as required by Britain's data protection laws, the agency said. Question about how their data might be used to track and profile them is in question. And the response from TikTok is interesting. They have made adjustments to the sign-up process, so it's no longer you have to provide simply your date of birth. Now the platform is looking for other signs that an account is being used by someone under 13. How? I Don't know. I don't have much information beyond this. It seems rather suspect. How is there making a determination somebody is under the age of 13? I would love to get some more information. Maybe I should just sign up for an account claiming I'm under 13 and see if they could identify me as under a 13-year-old. But then again, I'm not in Britain, so I'm going to fly under the radar.
I would say as long as they're not recommending any Dalai Lama content, the dancing video, the same stuff you see on YouTube. Now, the question is, if you've got a young one at home, Len, have you ever looked at what comes up if you let autopilot take over on the YouTube sidebar? It's some pretty weird stuff. And there was a story about this several years ago that it's basically AI generated kind of fever dream cartoon content that sometimes becomes sexually explicit. And YouTube, as far as I know, has never faced any charges, fines, anything like this for the nature of the content they allow on their platform. Though I think beyond a doubt here, that's, you know, damaging as well, and potentially, you know, takes advantage of that young person's information in some way that's illegal. So again, TikTok ban, talked about it last week with the whole, you know, how you're going to get to the Zoomers in the election. They don't want to ban TikTok. They want to control and regulate. And YouTube ultimately is a, you know, an arm of the state at this point. So good luck, TikTok. I doubt they're long for this world, but doesn't mean that there's not other threats out there.
At least in this present form, I think it's going to be adopting or changing moving forward. There was an anonymous source that leaked a whole bunch of classified information that showed up on Twitter and other platforms. And
we should know, I don't know if you're going to read this, but this source no longer anonymous as of earlier this afternoon.
Oh, that I was not aware.
I understand it's a 21-year-old military person from some flyover state. I forget exactly which one. But in the span of about 12 or 24 hours, not to co-opt the story, I'm sure there's good info here, but the press went from reporting this is a Russian disinformation campaign, laughable. If you had that on your bingo card, you've probably already checked that box a million times, to now this kid hosted a gaming group online, the Shakers of, I forget what the name of the group was, but basically, the guy's 21 years old and is close enough. I mean, how does a 21-year-old serviceman get close enough to that data? I have no idea. I haven't seen the data at all, but exactly. Yeah, interesting anyway.
Well, they're saying it's 100 classified documents were made its way to a variety of social media sites, and the sensitive data included some ongoing intelligence operations concerning Ukraine, the Middle East, and China. And I guess they found out who it is. They were trying to determine who was responsible for this leak. So this 21-year-old gentleman looks to be that person. I can't say for certain. And you know what? It's going to be tough because look what happened to Snowden. And there's been some history exactly what happened for people that came out and leaked information. So precedence has been set. So this guy's going to be feeling the long arm of the law. You better bend over. He's going to be probed very deep for this one. The FBI was looking into this too. So it looks like that they found their man. And this stuff is going to happen more and more because the United States, as it continues to decline, allies, supposed allies like France and Saudi Arabia, getting closer with adversaries like China. And I would imagine countries like China and Russia are likely to pay top dollar for this information. Yeah. So people working as civil servants are going to be likely easy targets, like it sounds like this particular person was. And especially those at the bottom of the food chain, they're going to be easily manipulated with food, money, sex, maybe a variety of flavors, who the heck knows. So yeah, this is going to be a tough one. This guy's in for a long battle. His life is not going to be the same after this, and hopefully he made the right decision. But you know what, he's going to probably face a long and tough time behind bars, so good luck to him.
The other thing I'll just note, like you mentioned there, sex, drugs, and alcohol. You know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll are always tempting when you're in the throes of very sensitive data. But Len, sounds like this guy just did it for the lulls, as the kids say. And if you got that kind of situation in your military, that's bad. I'll also just add that there's an overclassification problem in the United States government. Biden has been hit with this. Trump has been hit with this. I personally don't view either of those guys as particularly, you know, particularly difficult to deal with on this front. I just think that when you have every reason to classify every document because almost everything points to some nefarious action, you're going to overclassify stuff. And that's an example of this, right? So let's see what happens. The U.S. military is unforgiving when it comes to this stuff. I suspect you're right. This fellow will be in bars for a long time.
Good luck to him. Well, we have another example of ChatGPT being duped, and this is being reported, I guess, on consecutive weeks, or at least we reported it very recently.
Last week too, I think. Yeah,
last week it was. So yeah, last week we reported that one person's adventure with seemingly little effort, he was able to dupe ChatGPT to write up malicious code, malware code in C. And this week we got another example of the AI showing off that it is artificially intelligent rather than being considered artificial intelligence. And a gentleman by name of Aaron Muldrew, who is a solutions architect at Forcepoint, he was able to have the AI create a malware tool to secretly search for specific documents and have them delivered to the end user via Google Drive. And Mr. Muldrew, with little experience with malware development, so he has almost zero. He relied 100% on ChatGPT to create this tool, and he did it, and it was done within about 4 hours' time with directing the ChatGPT to do its thing. So whatever safeguards were put in place by the AI program, well, it was easy to get around that. And you know what? Like I mentioned last week, it's going to encourage a lot more fly-by-night people out there to spin up something like this, and they're going to try to steal your data moving forward. So you got to keep on your guard because you don't know who's going to be after your data and in what capacity. I think that a lot of people are going to be seeing these type of news and thinking that they're going to be a new hacker that's going to take people's information and become rich as a result of this. So they got to do whatever they can to make it more challenging for people to get information from ChatGPT to make up malware. But you know what? It's just another example. This thing, you know, I don't think it's all that smart. It's just artificially intelligent at the best.
I think there's going to be, I don't know if this is an original take, it's probably not, but I think there's going to be a lot of sort of soy-leaning young men who get picked off by an AI-generated picture, AI-generated conversation on a dating app, and end up giving up Bitcoin wallets, end up giving up gift cards, end up giving up all kinds of stuff. Because as that group of guys, and it pains me to say this as a, you know, as a mid-30s man, I think that group of guys is getting more and more desperate. The Pareto principle in romance is really starting to shine, you know, to say the least. And I think that there's a possibility that stuff like this is going to become rampant in day-to-day life, right? It's one thing to get the sort of love, the love mail that, you know, you carry on a relationship with somebody who sends you a text message by mistake. Everyone knows that scam. You've seen it on 2020 or whatever. I'm probably dating myself with 2020, but this is going to be way more scalable. And this is just the beginning, man. I really worry about this kind of stuff because I just don't think people are equipped to handle the barrage and the tuning on these tools.
Once that lady on the other end starts taking off that N95 mask, whoever is looking at that,
unbelievable,
just bonkers. So yeah, you could easily,
these are different times. Doesn't take much, right? Doesn't take much. Yeah, but when you haven't seen a nose or a lip in 3 years, things get hot and heavy pretty quick. Is that that's probably a sign we should wrap this up.
I think so.
thanks everyone for stopping in. Short week this week for a number of people. So if you were one of those people, enjoy your 4-day week. And Len and I, who never take a 4-day week, will see you on next Thursday or Friday, depending on when we record. Until then, take care of yourselves.
Take care.